So as I said before, in the Pansa, I mean, it's mostly, you know, it is for the monks and the Michis. I mean, within the next 3 months, we are not allowed to travel anywhere, you know, at least overnight, yeah. We have to be here every night. The compound, you know, of our Aditan, yeah, of our, what is Aditan in English? Determination of our entering the Pansa, yeah. I mean, it's this whole monastery, yeah. I mean, of course, for the women, it is the women area, and for the men, it is the men area. Yeah. And that holds true for the Mechis, yeah. If we leave without a reason, you know, for one night, you know, I mean, our Pansa is gone, yeah. So, and that is the same holds true for the monks, yeah. If the monks leave without a reason, you know, for just for one night, you know, the Pansa is gone. Yeah. They don't have, yeah, they can't count it. And the monastery compound, you know, is that what we determined to be our home. Yeah. And else there shouldn't be any work, but this year we are late. Yeah. I don't know how we end up so late, you know, I mean, still some work going on, and maybe probably for the next 2 weeks there's still some work going on. But we just extended, after the official ending of the Pansa, we just extended, yeah. Because I just want, you know, within 3 months, that we really, you know, push up our effort for our practice, yeah. And the effort in our practice is first of all, is to make the heart completely calm. To get rid of all the thoughts and to get rid of all the memories that come up and just stay, yeah, with the breath or just stay with the Buddha, yeah, without, you know, being bothered by the future, without being bothered by the past. So, you know what to do, we do it, you know, either with the Buddha, yeah, constantly, you know, staying with the Buddha or constantly staying with the breath, you know, coming in and coming out, yeah. And then the second thing that is more important and that is a little bit in the beginning more difficult is the development of the sati, yeah? Of this awareness of the object that we observe. Yeah? Knowing that the Buddha is starting, knowing that the Buddha is ending, knowing that the Buddha is fast or that it is slow, that the Buddha is rough or the Buddha is very detailed. And the same holds true for the breath. Yeah? This knowing we have to develop, no? But most of us, you know, when we do the Buddha and there's some calm coming, yeah, then we tend to stay with the calm, tend to stay with the feeling, and that is not going to help us, you know, develop this awareness. It's not the awareness in Pali is sati, yeah? It is not helping us, yeah, with the development of the sati. Sati is this knowingness, yeah? And when we train this knowingness, it knows of the things that appear in our heart. So it knows about, yeah, it knows about the intention, yeah, that comes up. It knows about the intention to think or the intention to draw up a memory. Yeah? Most of us won't even notice it. Yeah? And then the thought comes, yeah? Knowing that the thought arises, yeah, even that will be difficult, and you know, most of the time we catch ourselves only after 20 thoughts or 30 thoughts, yeah, or after half an hour or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, yeah. So knowing that the thought is coming up, yeah, and then we can stop the thought at any moment. We can stop it in the beginning, we can stop it halfway, or we can stop it towards the end and return to our Buddha, or return to our breath. Sati is so important because we can see it, we can know it, you know, that the thought is coming up or is forming, yeah? And the interesting thing, yeah? The interesting thing, if we really have sati, I mean, we know there is an intention to think, yeah? The intention to think is not the thought. It just tells us in which direction the thought might go. And then the thought develops. Huh? I mean, it can be so interesting meditation. Huh? Why are we so frustrated? Yeah, because we, what do we want? We want to get calm. We want to get calm. Yeah? That is not the way. It can be so interesting to observe everything that is going on. Yeah? We have the intention to think, or we have the intention to memorize something. Yeah, I mean, the intention doesn't really say. Yeah, it only says in which direction it goes. And then you see the thought form forming. Yeah, it's forming out. Yeah, you can observe that. Yeah, it's not within a. Yeah, it is within a split second. But when we have sati, you know, everything we can observe. Yeah. Then we observe the first thought, yeah? And if we are good, you know, we can see the following up thought, yeah? We can see then the next thought is forming. But we can also see that with each thought, there's a certain feeling attached to this thought. And especially, you know, with memory, we see, you know, it is more, yeah? There's more feeling attached to a memory than there's attached to a thought. When the second thought comes, we can see, you know, how these two feelings, you know, add up, yeah? And then we can slowly see how an emotion is created, yeah? Because there's a thought, there's a memory, there's a feeling, yeah? And these feelings add up just like like an avalanche, you know? You throw a stone in, yeah? The first stone, you know, the stone is the intention to think, yeah? And then the first thought, so it starts to develop, yeah? And then we can see how the feeling increases by each roll, by each, you know, going through the memories, going through thought, or even, you know, remembering a feeling. So it starts to grow and grow and grow, yeah? And as long as we have sati, we can observe it, yeah? And when, yeah? And when it gets too much, you know, and then we just stop it, yeah? We just return to Buddha and everything is gone. Would be nice if you could do it, huh? If you see an emotion coming up and instantly stop it, yeah? That would be nice, huh? Hmm? But we can learn to do it, yeah? And that's how we learn to do it, yeah? By having sati, yeah? Having sati, knowing whatever is going on in our heart, yeah? For that, we have to train the sati. And we have to train the sati by knowing the object, yeah? That we observe, be it the Buddha or be it the breath, yeah? We have to know every detail about the Buddha. We have to know every detail about the breath. Is the Buddha slow? Is the Buddha fast? Is the Buddha, you know, is it starting or is it ending? Is the next Buddha? By the breath, the same thing. Is it in-breath? Is it out-breath? Is it long or is it short? Is it detailed? Is it, you know, is it subtle or is it rough? We don't judge. We always try to manipulate. You always try to manipulate the Buddha, 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 yeah? Huh? Sometimes it is useful, you know, and sometimes it's not. Huh? Or we try to manipulate the breath should be calm, or the Buddha should be detailed, so we try to make it. No, we observe it. Huh? And as I said, observing is the most important thing. And that's why when we live in the nature, we observe the animals. Be it the ants, you know, what they are doing, or be it the squirrels, you know, that are hunting around, or even, you know, going to the chicken, you know, and seeing what they are doing. Because we cannot control them. But we see everything, yeah, what they are doing, yeah. We actually see what they are up to before they actually do it. If we have this kind of sati, yeah. And that is the same thing within our heart, yeah? We actually see, yeah? We see the intention before it's actually forming, yeah? Before it's actually forming a thought, yeah? So this is the sati that we need, yeah? And this is the sati that we need to develop, yeah? And the more sati we have, the easier we can cut through, yeah? The easier we can cut through any of the kilesas, any of this obnoxious onslaught that comes through and then bombards us, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that, you know, I mean, now I'm not satisfied with this. We can cut through, you know, just like a laser cuts through steel, yeah? And the stronger, you know, the stronger our sati is, the easier it is to cut through all these attachments. Yeah? And that's what we have to understand, that's what we have to learn. Right? This is one thing, yeah? Learning to develop sati, yeah? Getting calm, yeah? Once the mind is calm, you know, and you can stay, you know, for 10 or 15 minutes, then we can actually start with the body investigation. Yeah? And we start just with the body investigation. Yeah? I mean, as I explained, you know, often, yeah? Just cut this body up into bits and pieces and lay it in front of you and look at it. Yeah? And then just ask yourself, you know, what is the body? Which part of the body is the body? Yeah? There are just parts of the body, there is no body. There are just parts of the body laying down. And if you put all the parts of the body outside in front of you, yeah, then there is a little split second, you know, where you actually distance yourself from the body. And this split second we need. Yeah? But it doesn't come the first time, it doesn't come the second time, it might not come after 100 times. It might only come after 10,000 or 100,000 times. Yeah? So we have to do this until it really clicks, yeah? Until we really can see clearly that these are body parts and there is somebody looking at these body parts. And what is looking at the body part is the citta or the knowingness of the citta that looks at this body part. The moment, and then we notice, the moment we take one of the body parts, you know, put it back on the seat, yeah, I mean, then instantly the self appears, huh? I. Huh? Interesting. And we put it again back, you know, and then the I disappears, yeah? And then we take it out again, yeah? And then we compose it, you know, to be a body again. Yeah? So this attachment to the body, yeah, or this notion that we and the body are one and the same thing, it is very important for us to realize it. Yeah? It is the third fetter, or sometimes, you know, I mean, I think in the suttas it's called the second fetter, but you know, I normally call it the third fetter because it is the most difficult one before we can enter sotapanna. The first fetter is, yeah, as we know, it is not believing that there's heaven and hell, not believing it that there are beings in heaven and hell, not believing that there's karma and that there are results of karma. Yeah? This is the first fetter. The second fetter is constantly fiddling around with the precepts. Yeah? I mean, we are here in the monastery, so we keep our 8 precepts, we believe in heaven and hell, you know, or we trust that it exists, yeah. We don't have to believe it, you know, but we trust that it exists, yeah. Until we can actually see it, you know, and we see the beings in heaven, or we see the beings in hell, then we know for sure that they are there. So these first two fetters are actually relatively easily, when we live in the monastery, easily to obtain. Yeah? The third fetter is the attachment to the body that we think we are the body. Yeah? And this is very difficult, you know, it is very difficult for us, you know, to attain to. Yeah? But we can try it, you know. I mean, this is one of the exercises we can, yeah? We can do. I mean, you can also do the asupa exercises, you know, go inside the body or look at the hair of the body or look at the skin of the body or take the skin away. Yeah? I mean, this also, you know, this also lessens the attachment to the body. Yeah? And I just mention it because I read somewhere, you know, in the suttas, I read it, you know, when the Lord Buddha talked about what happens to the car when you disassemble it. When you disassemble a car, you know, and there are just planks of wood, there's a wheel, you know, there's some bolts and nuts and shit, yeah? Where's the car, yeah? Very interesting similar, yeah? And I thought, yeah, that is very interesting. What happens if I do it with the body, yeah? And the same thing happens. There's no body anymore, yeah? So, how can we be the body? We can see the body part, but there's no body, yeah? So you can do this, or you can do the normal asupa practice, you know. Whatever comes into the body, you know, is nice, yeah, and smells nice, you know. Whatever comes out of the body is disgusting, yeah. And we can start, you know, with our saliva, yeah. We can start with the saliva, spitting it in our hand, you know, waiting for 2 minutes and then try to lick it up again, yeah? And that is always in our mouth, huh? And we don't notice it, yeah? Yeah? I mean, all the things that come out of the body are disgusting, yeah? And whatever goes into the body or on the body is nice, yeah? But why do we have to wash our robes constantly, yeah? Because they smell, they stink, yeah? Because they... the filth, you know, that comes through our skin, you know, I mean, it's disgusting, yeah? I mean, we don't like to smell our own sweat, yeah? It's disgusting, yeah? I mean, this is a body, you know, it's a chemical factory, yeah? I mean, that uses the food, you know, to produce energy. And to produce all the things there, yeah? to drive a car, you know. I mean, we have to put water in, you know, fuel it, yeah, and also, you know, grease it, you know, so that it, yeah. It's the same with us, with the body, but we have to take care of more of these things, yeah. And the body is just a vehicle, yeah. And this is something that we have to understand. I mean, it is amazing, it is an amazing robot, you know, it's a biological robot. I mean, and we are fascinated by robots, yeah? When we see robots working in a factory, yeah, we're fascinated, yeah? I mean, we like to move them, you know, and we like to use them for our own benefit. And that's the same thing with the body, yeah? It's a fantastic tool, you know, to create all these things, you know, that we create in this world, yeah? But it's a tool, it's not us, it's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me, yeah? And this is something that we have to understand, yeah? It is a nice tool, you know? But, I mean, all our life we have to look after this tool. We constantly, I mean, it is much worse, you know? I mean, after machinery, after robot, you know, we have to look every 2 or 3 months, you know, and mend this and mend that, yeah? After the body, we have to look every day, you know. I mean, it takes us hours, you know, to look after this body, to keep it healthy and to keep it working, yeah? And most of the people, you know, that don't live in the monastery, I mean, they have to work, you know, I mean, in order to be able to look after this body. So much work, yeah? But we don't mind it, we don't seem to mind it, yeah? Unless we realize it, you know, I mean, it is, yeah? I mean, it's a nice tool, but a tool, you know, we can, yeah? We don't actually need, yeah? Because the citta itself, yeah? I mean, what do we need, you know? I mean, if you want to go to Sweden, you know, we need to go into an airplane, you know, and sit there, you know, in a very narrow seat for 12 hours, yeah? If you go to Germany for 11 hours, if you go to Australia, I mean, it depends on the east or west coast, you know, it's still six, seven hours, yeah? Where you have to be cramped in, you know? But we do it, you know? But if you don't have a body, you know, the citta can fly anywhere, you know, within seconds, yeah? It just, you know, I mean, it just thinks of a place and there it is, yeah? There are other factors within the citta, you know? And, yeah, it is like, you know, it is like you get a new computer, yeah? There's no software on it, yeah? So you install the software on it, you put all the data in it that you need, you know, and then you can use it, yeah? And that is with the body, yeah? I mean, you have to install the software, yeah? I mean, it takes us 18 years to train this body, yeah? I mean, there's no robot in this world that needs to be trained for 8 years, yeah? For the most complex task, it's half a year, you know, of training for a robot to do something, yeah? For this body, we have to train. We have to train it for such a long time, yeah? 18 years until we completely can use it, you know, with full strength, yeah? We have to learn to walk, learn to talk, you know? Then we have to learn to write, to read, yeah? And then we have to learn to think, and that takes, yeah? And that takes most of the time, yeah? In the next life, you know, when we become humans again, we have to do it again. So you better find a way out in this life, yeah? Or at least, you know, I mean, at least, you know, have your hands on the grip of the handle of the door, yeah? If you can't make it, if you can't open the door and go through it, you know, at least, you know, the most that you want to achieve in this life, yeah, with all your effort you put into, yeah, is, you know, to get to the handle of the door and, you know, actually open it, yeah? Because next life you don't know, yeah? I mean, you were thrown into this life. I mean, how often did we do this? How often did we become Mechis or monks, yeah? I mean, maybe in your last life you were monks, yeah? Yeah? How often do we do this? I mean, how often do we have to become monks, yeah? How often do we have to become recluses, you know, to be able to finally open the door? Hundreds, thousands of times. Oh, it's so hard, you know, and then we disrobe, you know, and then we go back into the ley life. In the next life, you know, maybe it's better to you know, to put on the robes, you know, and then we put it on for a while. Oh, no, it's so hard, you know, and yeah. So we train and we train and we train, you know, lives on end, you know. I mean, have you become monks, you know, or nuns or whatever, or recluses, yeah? Until, you know, I mean, it, until we decide this life, you know, I mean, let's go, you know, as close as possible to the door, yeah? So that in the next life we can open it, or at least, or go through the door, you know, and even go up to arahantship if we can do it, yeah? But that needs a lot of effort, yeah? So, I mean, make up your mind, yeah? Because the next life is coming, yeah? Just like we say in Europe or probably in Australia, the next winter is coming, yeah? 100%, yeah? So you prepare yourself for the next winter, or prepare yourself for the next life. If you don't want the next life to come, yeah? I mean, find a way out, yeah? That is the most important thing. So this was, you know, the second part, yeah? I mean, the first part, you know, of what we should achieve, you know, in this pantha, in this range retreat, is, you know, sati, developing the sati, yeah? The next thing is, you know, investigation of the body, yeah? what we should also train, yeah? Is to deal with dukkha vedana. It's to deal with painful feelings, yeah? When we sit long enough, you know, I mean, we trade, you know, huh? We are encountered to painful feelings. Yeah? And that, as I said before, yeah? I mean, just listen to the text, yeah? As I said before, the first thing of investigation pain is to accept pain as it is, yeah? So instead of putting our attention on the Buddha or putting our attention on the breath, we put our attention on the whole body and feel the feeling, and don't be averse to the feeling. That is important. We have no aversion to the feeling. We just want to know, we just want to understand how is that feeling. And once we have accomplished this feast, to accept the feeling as it is, then we go to the location where the feeling seems to be. And then we can ask the question, yeah? We can ask the question, where actually is the feeling? Or we can ask the general question, is it anicca? Does it become stronger? Does it become weaker? Does it become stronger, weaker? And then we see it, yes. Is it point-wise? Is it area-wise? And then we can go into the location. Where actually is it located? Is it actually, you know, and then we go to tear. Is it in the skin? Is it in the bones? Is it in the tendons, is it in the muscle, is it in the flesh? Where actually is this pain that we so strongly feel? Yeah? And the closer we come to the truth, and when we come very close to the truth, the pain disappears from this location and it reappears in another location. And then we see, yeah? we might not catch it in the first time, but we could see, you know, I mean, that was so painful in this location, you know, has moved to another location. Okay, so then we go to the another location, do the same thing, yeah? Look, you know, I mean, look for anicca, look for anatta, look for dukkha, yeah? And then look for the location of the pain, yeah? And then it moves to another place, and it moves to another place, and each time we follow it to this place, until it shows us where it comes from, yeah? It has to show us, yeah? Of course, we all know it comes from the heart. But that doesn't help us, it's still painful, yeah? That doesn't get rid of the pain, even if we know it comes from the heart, it doesn't get rid of the pain. But if we see it with our own inner eyes, how it is made, yeah? How our chitta makes up this pain, yeah? Then we are never afraid of pain anymore. Yeah? You still have to go through the three stages of pain, yeah? That is a different matter, the stages of death. But, I mean, at least, you know, we have dealt with the pain, yeah? At least, you know, go, you know, I mean, do it, yeah? If you can't bear the pain anymore, raise the white flag and say, okay, that's it. I give up. But with this giving up, we have to make the determination that the next time, at least half a second later or half a minute longer, we will watch it. Yeah? We don't raise the flag, without, making a new determination next time we tackle it longer. Yeah? Otherwise we lost the battle, and there's no effect to it. Of course we will always lose the battles in the beginning, yeah? I mean, Lungda Mahabhor talked about, the fight against Achilles. Going as an untrained boxer into the ring with a champion, yeah? I mean, he boxes you out instantly. You're not KO. Yeah. And then you get up, you get back your senses, and then you go back in, yeah? And you learn over time, you learn how this boxer, boxes, yeah? How he kicks you out, yeah? And then you learn how to duck, yeah? And the first time you learn to duck, the blow goes over your head, you're still in the ring, yeah? And then you learn, through observing how it defeats us, how the Achilles constantly defeats us, or knock you us out, yeah? And then we duck, yeah? Until we give it a blow. That is the first great victory, yeah? Because then the Achilles are knocked out. And then you see, wow, this is a complete difference to our life that we know, yeah? When the Achilles are knocked out, nobody comes and bothers us. It is different, from the samadhi that we go into, yeah? When the kilesas, when we are still, when we are not in samadhi and the kilesas are knocked out, I mean, it is amazing. You start to see, even with your open eyes, you start to see things very clearly and very differently, yeah? Until the kilesas, come back, and then you're muddled up again, yeah? So, this is the fight we take. So, no, okay, I can't take it anymore. Raise the white flag, retreat, but tell yourself, okay, next time I will do it longer, yeah? Or I will be more persistent, or I will, have more sati, yeah? Whatever you tell yourself, but don't just give, just don't fall back, onto your pillow, and fall asleep, yeah? Or do something else. Yeah? Always know that you have been defeated. Always know that the kilesas have tricked you. This knowing is important, yeah? Otherwise, we lose every battle without even knowing the reason why we lose, yeah? This understood? And then, the other thing we should do within this pansa, we should at least develop it, and I often talk about this, is the daily reflection. Huh? Yes, there was something I forgot about it. Huh? The daily reflection. Huh? That just remember with what kind of thought, with what kind of memory did we wake up? Yeah. We do it normally in the afternoon or in the early evening, yeah. Just going through the day, step by step, whatever we can remember. If we can't remember it, we just go to the next step. And most of the time, we just take things, okay, woke up, what kind of thoughts were there, what kind of memories were there, what kind of feelings were there, yeah? And then we go to the next, yeah? Brushing your teeth, or washing your face, or doing this, yeah? And then what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories, what kind of feeling? Then what did I do there? Okay, I went to the sala, yeah? I mean, where was my sati? And then we suddenly, the closer we come to the sala, the sati, it's disappeared, yeah? Okay, we know it, yeah? When we were eating, the same thing, before, when I do the reflection of the bowl of the food, what kind of thoughts creep in, yeah? Just to know it, yeah? And then go through every part of the day, or every hour of the day, yeah? With meditation, we just know, okay, we did walking meditation, that's it, yeah? How was it, did we give up, without a fight, yeah? Or, was it good, what was good, I mean, we just know it, we look at it, and then go to the next step, yeah? Until we come to the moment that we are sitting and doing the reflection. And the important thing is not to judge, yeah? Don't say it was good. Don't say it was bad. Yeah, just know. Yeah. The heart will decide by itself if it was wholesome or unwholesome. Yeah? We don't have to tell the heart. Yeah. We constantly want to tell the heart that this was good. Yeah? But the heart says, no, it wasn't good. It was not wholesome. Yeah. But we don't want to listen to it. We want to see, this was really good. Yeah. But the heart actually, no, your samadhi was not really good. It wasn't really clear cut there. So these things, yeah, let's train that, yeah. Let's train that in the next 3 months, yeah. Okay, understood? Yamning Kao Chai Bang Mai? Yamning Kao Chai Nit Noi Mai? Okay. ทั้งทั้ง 2 อย่างทั้งภาษาอังกฤษทั้งภาษาไทยภาษาอังกฤษก็มันละเอียดกว่านะเพราะว่าหลวงพ่อยังไม่ได้จบ ป. 6 นะกำลังขึ้นป. 2 Okay, so walking meditation, yeah? I mean, I talk very often, walking meditation, which is very easy, you know, it is very easy and very fast to actually gain samadhi. If at every time, you know, we go, you know, we start the path, yeah, when we determine this one path, I'm with the Buddha or with the Buddha, yeah? And then we turn around, we just have a short reflection, have I been all the time, yeah, and then just determine again, this, yeah, path, I want to be with the Buddha, with the Buddha. And each time we turn around, we make a new determination. Then our citta cannot go away so fast. When we sit, you know, when we sit for hours, you know, the citta, I mean, yeah, it's also out for hours, yeah. But if you do walking meditation, and if we really do this, at every turn around, you know, I mean, we determine again, okay, this one path, I will be with my Buddha, yeah. Can we do it? For the first 5 times. And then we sleep walking around, yeah? Sleep forward, backward, you know, and turn around, you know, not knowing what is going on. Okay, that's it for today, yeah?